We are holding on Chavtes Amid Aleph, the second line. The Mishnah had mentioned that there's five tragedies on Tisha B'Av. Hello? The Mishnah had mentioned there's five tragedies that happen on Shiva of Tammuz and five Tisha B'Av. The ones Shiva of Tammuz we dealt with yesterday, now we're going to deal with the Tisha B'Av ones. How we know that each of these things happen on Tisha B'Av. First one, B'Tisha B'Av Nigzar Alav Esenu Shalei Kamsu La'aretz. It says on Tisha B'Av, the Gzeira was made that the Jewish people are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael in that generation. Menalon. So how do we know that? We know it as follows. We're going to make a calculation and find when these things happen. Just the pasuk says, "Vayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shana ha'shenis." It was in the first month, the Nisan of the second year since they left Mitzrayim. Be'echa b'chodesh, on the first of the month, hukam ha'mishkan. The Mishkan was set up. V'almamar, and a brisa clarifies, "Shana rishana asa Moshe et ha'mishkan." The first year Moshe put together the Mishkan. They built the pieces for it, etc. Shnia, beginning in the second year, Hakim Moshe et ha'mishkan. He put up the Mishkan because he started putting up the Mishkan the last 7 days of the previous year, beginning from Chav Gimel Adar. But every day he took it out. Every day at the end he took it down. Beginning with Chodesh Nisan, he put it up, and then it stayed up. It stayed up continuously until the next time they traveled. And also in that same year, Vesholach Meraglim. There's also the year when Moshe sent out the Meraglim. Uchtiv. And then, so let's go through. So they set up the Mishkan Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The next thing that happened, the Torah describes, Vayhi b'shana ha'shenis b'chodesh ha'sheni b'esr b'chodesh, in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, so the 20th of the year, Nala onan mal Mishkan ha'edus, the cloud rose up from the Mishkan, it's time to travel on. The original thing was that they ended up traveling for 3 days, as the Gemara is going to say, and the original plan was that Abishah is going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael after those 3 days. That they reached Kadesh Barnea, which is the border of Eretz Yisrael, but then things started to go sour from there, kind of. Well, so Rashi points out in at the beginning of Devarim that really, by rights, the Pasuk says that it was really an 11-day trip from normally from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. The Eibishter arranged that they should go quickly in 3 days in order that they should get to Eretz Yisrael all the sooner. No, not because he knew things were going to go sour, but because he wanted to get them into Eretz Yisrael as soon as possible. But, yeah. Okay, Uchtiv, and then the Pasuk says, Vayiso Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshes Yomim. They traveled from the mountain of Hashem, from Har Sinai, on a 3-day trip. And that was already the beginning of the problem, because Amar Abhamah Baruch Hanina, Oysa Yom Soru Me'achre Hashem. On that day, they turned away from Hashem. First of all, Rashi says, when it says, Vayiso Mehar Hashem, the word Mehar, we can rearrange the Nekudas on it to make the word Maher, which means quickly. Like they wanted to leave Har Sinai as quickly as possible. Rashi says on the Pasuk over there, we learned in Shabbos as well, that like they're running away as fast as possible, because like they're saying, you know, the longer we stay at Har Sinai, every day we stay here, we're getting more and more mitzvahs, let's get out of here as fast as possible. So that was a negative thing. Some Mepharshim add that already at that point, what do we have right after that? After they traveled, after they started that travel, the next thing the Torah describes, Vayom Kimisoninim, they're complaining, a fire broke out, and then Hisabu Taiva, they had a taiva for meat, etc. Some Mepharshim say that's part of this Oysayim Soru Me'achre Hashem, this next thing that the Gemara is going to quote, is that already began on those 3 days themselves, that already then they're starting to complain that they want meat, etc.
This is all in Baal Oscha.
The trip. The 3-day trip, the Kibbutz HaTaiva and everything is right there in the same parsha.
The trip was from Har Sinai.
From Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea.
How far is it?
So that's the pasuk says. The pasuk says in at the beginning of Devarim, that's normally an 11-day trip. We don't know. It's hard to know because we don't know exactly where Har Sinai is. There's all kinds of different theories, and we're not exactly certain where Kadesh Barnea is either. There's a few different theories. Hertz mentions in his Chumash on that pasuk in Devarim that based on one possible identification of Kadesh Barnea and the famous identification of Har Sinai, which, you know, the Goyim identify it as, you know, they have a famous monastery there, whatever. Some Englishman in the 1800s tried it and found that it took him exactly 11 days. But maybe, Kenzain, yeah. Anyway. But the Jewish people made it in 3 days. Part of the complaint, also, Rashi says on the pasuk, okay, Hashem wanted to bring them into Eretz Yisrael as fast as possible. They turned that around into a complaint. Hashem is making we haven't had a rest. We've been traveling nonstop for 3 days. Anyway, so Oysayim Soru Me'achre Hashem. So on that day, they turned away from Hashem. Uchtiv, and then the pasuk continues, V'hasafsuf Hashem Tibra Yisavu Taiva. The rabble, meaning the Erev Rav, among them, started having a craving. They wanted the Yeshuva V'yufku Gambanei Yisrovagomer, and then they, along with the rest of the Jewish people, started crying, demanding we want meat, etc., and the whole thing that developed over there. Uchtiv, and then the pasuk says ad chodesh yomim v'gomer. That Hashem says, fine, I'm going to give you meat until you're sick of it, not for one day, not for 2 days, etc., but for a whole month. Ad chodesh yomim. So far we have like this. So there's a couple of different possible ways of calculating this. Rashi talks about it. Tosfos has a slightly different calculation. Agoyt Abach also deals with it. One way of looking at it is the 3 days they traveled are Chof, Chof Aleph, and Chof Beis here. Beginning Chof Gimel here, the Ebeshah said, fine, I'm going to supply you with meat. So it lasted for a month until Chof Beis 7. Because, Rashi says, a month, a chodesh, we know, can be either 29 or 30 days. So for this purpose, when the Ebeshah says, ad chodesh yomim, means it's a 29-day month. So it runs from Chof Gimel year until Chof Beis 7. That's why that Rashi says that's the only way the calculation works, because the next thing we're going to have is 7 days from Miriam Sarat, and then Chof Tes 7, the Gemara is going to establish Chof Tes 7, they sent out the Meraglim. If you say they had 30 days worth of meat, the calculation doesn't work out. Tosfos puts it a little bit differently. Tosfos puts it that they did have full 30 days meat. The same day that the 3 days Chof Chof Aleph Chof Beis Iyar, that same day Chof Beis Iyar, already the slav started falling. So therefore you could manage to have 3 full days. Okay, anyway. So therefore, to have a little estrin v'kartin v'sivan. So far, we reach the 22nd of Sivan. Again, 3 days chof chof aleph chof beis year for the travel. 29 days according to Rashi. 30 days according to Tosfos of meat. So you're up to the 22nd. You're up to the 22nd of Sivan now. Then the pasuk continues. Vatisagri Miriam shivas yamim. That Miriam talked against Moshe, and she was punished with saraf. She was quarantined outside the camp for 7 days. So now we're up to Dehavalu Estrin V'tisha B'Sivan. Now we're up to the 29th of Sivan.
So they were stopped because of her.
So they were stopped. Well, so what happened? The pasuk says after they had the month's worth of meat and they buried everybody who died, Kisham Kavaroth Alma Misavim, the next thing the pasuk says is from Kivrat HaTaira they traveled to Chatzeres. Chatzeres is somewhere near that area, somewhere near Kivrat HaTaira. Apparently it took less than a day to get there. Then on that same day, we're assuming it was on that same day that Miriam spoke against Moshe, was punished with 7 days of Tzaraas. So they wound up having to stay in Chatzeres for 7 days, and only then were they able to travel on to Kadesh Barnea.
Miriam and Aaron both.
Yeah, that's a whole different matter. Aaron was punished for a couple of minutes, but she started it, so therefore she had more. Anyway.
So she delayed 7 days.
So that's the famous thing Rashi says on the pasuk over there from the Gemara and Sota, that she waited around for Moshe when he was a baby. She waited around when the basket was in the Nile to see what's going to happen with him. Her reward was that now the whole Jewish people waited for her for 7 days. And didn't travel on. Anyway, so now we're up to Dehavalu Esrin V'tisha B'Sivan. Now we're up to the 29th of Sivan. Uchtiv, and the very next thing is Shlach Lecha Anashim. The Ebeshah says to Moshe, send for yourself men. That's the Meraglim. So they left on the 29th of Sivan. Now, Ovetanya, and in fact we learn in a Braisa, Esrin V'tisha B'Sivan, Shalach Moshe Meraglim. The Braisa corroborates our calculations. So far, Moshe sent out the Meraglim on the 29th of Sivan. Because we'd rather prove it from the Psukim. Now that we proved it from the Psukim, we have the Braisa substantiate it. But the Braisa itself had to get it from Psukim, after all. Now, Uchtiv. Now, then we have the Pasuk continues, by Yeshuv Mitura Arit Miketza Borimim. They returned from traveling around Eretz Yisrael at the end of 40 days. So how does 40 days work out? So we have like this. There's two days of Sivan, Chatzes and Lamed. Right now, we're assuming there were 29 days of Tammuz, as there usually are. So that brings us up to 31. And nine days above. But the question is, the Pashtus, they didn't come back on Tisha B'Av itself. The Pashtus, they came back the day before, and then they cried that night, as the Gemara is going to say soon. So we have a problem. Hani Aborim Yom Nachi Chadav, that's not 40 days, that's 39 days. If they left on Choftes and came back on Ches, then you got 39 days. If they left on Choftes, 7. You have 2 days of 7. 29 of Tammuz, that makes 31.
31.
Yeah. Then you have 8 days and 8 days of Av, because they came back, the Pashtus, on the 8th of Av in the afternoon, and that night, Tisha B'Av night, is when everybody cried. So Amar Abaya, Tammuz, Dahi Shata Maluyim Malyuha. In fact, Tammuz of that year was made a Chodesh Malay, even though normally you have Sivan as Malay, Tammuz as Chaser. In this case, it worked out that year they ended up making Tammuz Malay. So therefore, we have to redo our calculation. You have 2 days of Sivan, 30 of Tammuz, and 8 of Av. So therefore, that brings us that they came back at the end of 40 days. Again, Hagoy Tabach has a long discussion about the possibilities that maybe you could say the other way around according to Tosfos. The Bach understands Tosfos to be saying we don't count the 29th of Tav Tammuz because they left in the middle of the day. We count the first day of their 40-day trip. We count as the 30th of Sivan. So therefore, yes, it would have to come back. It would have to come out that they came back late in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av. And yes, that day when they came back and that night when they started crying, that's the Eibishter said it's going to be B'chiyah L'dodos, because as the Gemara is going to say soon, that's actually when the Beis Hamikdash was set on fire late on the afternoon of Tesal, of Tisha B'Av.
Why didn't he give such a long for trying to punishment for stuff like
L'dodos? Where I don't understand.
The Eibishter punished them because they were complaining.
Because they were complaining. So the Eibishter said, for every day that the Menachem were in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to spend 1 year in the desert.
Right.
Yeah. So 40 days, 40 years.
Right. But all the generations have been
on. Yeah, that's what we're going to get to. We're going to get to that soon. Wait. Okay, so how do we know that Tammuz was made 30 days? The pasuk says in Eicha, "Kara olai moyed lishvar bachurai." The Eibishter called on me a moyed to break my bachurim, to break my young men. There's a couple of different other possibilities what bachurai means, but anyway, what's the point? Rosh Chodesh is called a moyed. So what the pasuk is saying is like this: the Eibishter wanted to arrange that the Meraglim are going to come back on Tisha B'Av. Either we said according to Rashi that they'll come back Erev Tisha B'Av and they'll cry that night, or according to the Bach's understanding of Tosfos that they'll come back the next day and they'll be crying. Either way, the point is Tisha B'Av is already from the beginning is a day that's destined for Puranas. So the Eibishter specifically arranged that they should come back. If they end up doing the wrong thing, which ultimately they did, then that's going to become that day is destined to be a day of tragedy for the Jewish people. Had they had that, Tammuz had been a regular 29-day month, and the whole calculation wouldn't have worked out because they would have come back a day later. And Yod Av is nothing special. So therefore, the Kara Olai Moyed, the Eibishter arranged the Moyed, the Eibishter arranged the months in that period that it should end up being Molei, that there should be a Moyed, that there should be a Rosh Chodesh where it wouldn't otherwise be, in order Lishvar Bachurai, in order to have the destined day when the Jewish people are going to be broken and the Chorban is going to happen. So we see from that that the timing of the Chorban, which in turn depends on the timing the Meraglim came back, depends on Tammuz having been a 30-day month. And now then the pasuk continues. The whole congregation lifted up their voices. And everybody cried on that night. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yechanan, Osayim Erev Tisha B'Av. That day was Erev Tisha B'Av, or Hagoyes Abach has the gusa rather that Osayim Tisha B'Av. That the day they came back was Tisha B'Av. Whatever. Amar Lahem Achadosh Baruch Hu. The Eibishter says to them, Atem Bechisim Bechiyah Shochinam. You cried of crying for nothing. Because you're claiming it's going to be dangerous to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Eibishter hates us, etc. Chas v'shalom. It's not so, especially the B'chiyah Shochinam, Marsha says, actually, they're claiming, the pasuk says in Devarim, that they claim, B'sinas Hashem Oysanu Hoytzionu, that Hashem hates us, therefore he took us out of Eretz Yisrael to be killed when we try to go into Eretz Yisrael. So he's telling them, Fakert, you guys have sinas chinam towards the Eibishter. He doesn't hate you, but you don't like him, and therefore, yeah. So you cry to B'chiyah Shochinam, V'ani Kevei Lechem B'chiyah L'doros, and therefore I will set up for you a crying for all future generations.
Why would he punish all the Doros just for one, because of one generation?
Because that generation, they were the ultimate generation. They're the ones who received the Torah. They're the ones who they should have been the ones to know better.
But what's the logic of punishing other generations because of that generation?
So one idea of it is that the pasuk says over there, "Tapchem Hashem Artem." The Jewish people were complaining, and they Marsha has a long explanation about it. That the people, it wasn't just they themselves are scared and talking against the Eibishter. And all they're gathering their children together and telling them how bad it is that you're going to end up being killed by the goyim, etc. Now these children, they're below 20; they can't really be punished. They can't be punished in the mashla, but. The pasuk says, your children, who you said are going to be despoiled, they're going to end up, they will come into Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to know it, but like not as a permanent thing. They're not going to have it as a permanent possession anymore. No, because we're talking about, for example, they were old enough to, these are children who are old enough to know, but not old enough to be punished, to be punished milamayla. Well, whatever. There's also the idea. I mean, ultimately, we have, for example, with the first korban, where why did the first korban happen? We learned in Yom Ha'avodah Zarah Gilad Ayis Shfichas Damim. Why the second korban happened? Sinas Chinam. The people of those generations had the choice to do the right thing, right? If they had, then there wouldn't have been a B'chiyah L'dodos. The Eibishter is saying that Tisha B'Av is destined to be a day of Bechiya L'Doros, but it depends on what the actual people in each generation do.
Awesome.
Oh, wait a minute, it's hard time. I'm not seeing. We're going to say later, the Gemara is going to say later, the Eibishter arranges good things to happen on days that are destined for good and bad things to happen on days that are destined for bad. The Eibishter is saying, because what you did with the Meraglim, therefore Tisha B'Av is now a day of Bechiya L'Doros. Any particular generation, though, has the choice whether to act in a way that's going to cause a bechira or not. And they still have bechira chavshes. Yeah. For example, we learned that during the time of the first of all, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be Lusas and Olsimcha, and we had opinions that even during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, it was certainly during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, they didn't fast on it.
What about the fact that Rock is one of the things?
They got to stay in the Midbar, not as a positive. I mean, you know, those are the famous sikhas where they ever talked about that the mistake of the Meraglim was they thought, let's not go into Eretz Yisrael because then we're going to have to be involved with Gashmius and we want to be totally involved in Ruchnius. Okay, so then, you know, in a way it's a fair point. So fine, okay, you'll stay in the desert, you'll be totally involved in Ruchnius, but not in a positive way. So therefore we see that the Jewish people are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael took place on Tisha B'Av. Next one, Chorav HaBayis Bereshit. Now, how do we know that the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed Tisha B'Av? Dichtiv, the pasuk says there's two different places in Tanakh where it describes the Churban. One is in Sefer Yirmiyah and one is in Sefer Melachim, in Melachim, which Yirmiyahu also wrote. So one pasuk, which is in Melachim, says, "Uvachodesh hachamishi b'shiva lachodesh in the fifth month, which is Av, on the seventh day of the month, tishnas chayes rishon al malach nevuchadnezzar malach bavel, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Bavel, bon ruzaradin rab tabachim evan malach bavel Yerushalayim, ruzaradin chief of the butchers, the servant of the king of Bavel, came to Yerushalayim, vayisrif et beis Hashem v'goyim and he burned the house of Hashem." So far it sounds like it was on the seventh of Av, but then a different pasuk in Yirmiyah describes it differently. In the fifth month on the tenth day, Hishnat Chayes Rishon Al Malach Nebuchadnezzar Malach Bavel, Bon Ruzarad Rab Tabachim, Amad Lifnei Malach Bavel Yerushalayim V'Goymer. He stood in front of the king of Bavel in Yerushalayim V'Goymer, and the pasuk continues that he burnt the Beis Hamikdash
on the tenth.
Actually, by the way, the as a side thing, the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions an interesting thing. The pasuk is saying that Nebuchadnezzar stood in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what do you mean? Nebuchadnezzar wasn't there in Yerushalayim in person. He had his headquarters in Rivlof in the north of Eretz Yisrael. What it means is, the Gemara says, Nebuchadnezzar felt himself like he's in front of Nebuchadnezzar. He had to derech eretz for his king. There's one opinion in the Gemara over there that he had an image of Nebuchadnezzar painted on his chariot to the extent that he felt himself, he had to derech eretz for his king, that he felt like he's standing before him. This is Lahavdil Alephal Fatdolus. This is a source of this can be a source for the idea that we have pictures of the Rebbe all over the place. And, you know, the idea should be that a person should feel themselves. You know, you're standing in front of the Rebbe, you're going to act a certain way.
Any problem when you mention their names
with the Mashiach Rebbe? No, Pashas not. I don't know. Anyway, V'tanya. Now we learn in a Braisa. Ef Shalom B'Shiva. You can't say the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on the seventh. Shai Efrayim Nami B'Asa, because Yirmiyahu says that it was on the tenth. Ef Shalom B'Asa Shai Nami B'Shiva. You can't say the tenth because it says the seventh. Well, how do you work it out? Okay, it said B'Shiva Nichnas Nachar Ma'Hechol. On the seventh day, the Goyim came into the Hechol. V'Achlu V'Kilkulu By Shvi Shmini Uchi. They ate and they drank and they messed around in it on the 7th and 8th and 9th of and then Samoch HaShecha, on the 9th, towards the evening, Hitzitzu Boyas Ur, they lit it on fire, V'Hadurlik V'Holach Kol Hayom Kula, and it was burning the whole rest of the day, the whole 10th of Av. Shenema, the pasuk says, Oy Lonu Kipana Hayom, this is another pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Oy to us that the day has waned, Ki Yinotu Tzil Le'orev, that the shadows of the evening are turning. So we see that at the time, towards the evening, when the shadows are turning, is when the Beis Hamikdash was burnt. Behind to Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and this explains what Rabbi Yochanan said. Umola heisiba oisader. If I had lived in that generation, like Kavaitiv Elabasiri, I would have not set up the fast for the Churban on Tisha B'Av. I would have set it up on the 10th of Av. Shemif neshiruba shel heichal by Nisrach, because most of the heichal was burnt on that day. V'Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan, so Taka, what did the Rabbanan who set it up on Tisha B'Av, what would they answer to that? They would say, Aschalta, the Puranos Adifa. True, but the beginning of the Puranos is the more serious thing. The rest of it is like an after effect of it. Yes. There are a couple of interesting things in this. First of all, this that we're saying, that halacha is not like Rabbi Yechon. Halacha is the fast on Tisha B'Av, although the Yerushalmi mentions that there were some of the Chachamim who actually did fast on Tisha B'Av and on the 10th of Av as well, or on the night and on the night of the 10th of Av. We don't, because it would be dangerous to fast for so long, but it's because of that, when we're going to talk on Omer Beis and tomorrow about the restrictions of the 9 days, this is why the minhag is that those restrictions last until Chatzos of Yud. Unless Yud comes out on Erev Shabbos, and then you're allowed to do things in the morning because of Kavod Shabbos, as we'll talk about on Amud Beis. You can eat on the 10th, but we still keep the restrictions in the 9 days. No meat, no wine, etc. Yeah. Adif just means that it's preferable. If you're going to make a day for the Tainis, it's preferable to have it on the 9th, because, yeah. The Rebbe in Sichus pointed out an interesting Lomcha question. I think the Avnei Nezer brings it, and others. In Bava Kama, there's a discussion over there about when a person sets something on fire. Where we know that you have the four obvious mezikin, Shorber, Mava, and Hever. Hever is fire. When a person sets something on fire, under what do we consider? You have a machloikus over there. You have a machloikus over there. What exactly are we considering? You know, he set a fire and then it spread to somebody else's property. On what grounds are we saying he's chayav for damaging the other person's thing? He didn't do it directly. So Rabbi Yochanan says over there, ishay mishum chitzal. The fire is like shooting an arrow. You shoot an arrow, yes, it's out of your hands, but it's going to go and damage something. So the same thing, when you set a fire and it ends up spreading, then yeah, you're chayev on those grounds. Now, the question is, over here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that on the contrary. It seems to be he's saying the fire was set, but nevertheless, you're saying you don't want to commemorate the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash on the day the fire was set, on Tisha B'Av. You want to commemorate the next day, on Yud Av. Why? According to his own shitta in Bava Kama over there, you should be commemorating on the 9th. We're saying the destruction happened on the 9th towards the evening, and it continued throughout the 10th. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if I set a fire now and it spreads to somebody else's property, I'm chayev as of when I lit it. I can't claim. Well, later on it happened on its own. So over here, why is he saying that? So the answer they give is there's a difference between a fire set by a human being and a fire set by the Eibishter. Even though we're saying over here that that the goyim set it on fire, we know it wasn't really them. It was the Eibishter. If the Eibishter hadn't set it on fire, they never would have been able to overpower it. So what happened? The Eibishter is not like that. Rashi says in Parashat Hazinu that a human being shoots an arrow and then that's it. It's gone. I can't get it back. The Eibishter always has his arrow in his hand. He can always pull it back. So therefore, yes, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though the fire was already begun on Tisha B'Av, the Eibishter could have stopped it at any time, even on Yud. As long until the Heichal was completely burnt. The Eibishter could. So therefore, you can't say like the rule you say there in Bava Kama. Because there's a difference between a human caused fire and a fire that was caused by the Eibishter.
And that's why
Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here that you should have fasted on the 10th.
Not
a contradiction with what he says there in Bava Kama, because there he's talking about a human caused fire, and here he's talking about one that the Eibishter said. That's the thing, because the Eibishter can always undo what he did.
Right.
Yeah, the person can do tshuva at any time.
How does that translate into celebrating on the 10th? Rather than
so that's why Rabbi Yochanan is saying, do it on the 10th when it actually finished burning. Because once it's completely burnt, it's completely burnt, that's it. But as long as it wasn't completely burnt, there was still, yeah. There's a different thing that some Achronim talk about. There is a concept the Gemara mentions in a few places called the Voba Pritzim B'Chilalua, that once Goyim conquered the Beis Mikdash, then everything in it becomes Chulin. That has implications in Halacha as far as that you're allowed to use the things of it, and you're not considered being Moel B'Hekdash, etc. So therefore, one argument is, the Chachamim over here are saying, well, there's that. Once the Goyim set the Beis Mikdash on fire, then that's it. Voba Pritzim B'Chilalua. Therefore, it's at that point that the Beis Mikdash lost its Kedusha. Therefore, we should commemorate it on the 9th. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, that's true. But on the other hand, you can't really say that. The Beis Mikdash never lost its Kedusha. The halacha is, for example, you're allowed to bring karbonis even when the Beis Mikdash is not standing. So therefore, more logically, you should say that you do it on the 10th when it was actually completely burned. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so that takes care of. Now we understand how we know the first Beis HaMikdash was burned on Tisha B'Av. How about the second one, Ovah Shniyah Menolah? How do we know the second Beis HaMikdash? D'tanya, we learn in a Braita. It's an Erechin. Megalgal and Tzchus L'Yem Zakai. The Eibishter arranges that good things should happen on days that are Zakai, days that are Tzchus. V'choyvel L'Yem Chayev, and punishments happen on things that are designated for those things. Amru, so they said, the first time when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was Erev Tisha B'Av, or actually Hagar Sabach says it was Tisha B'Av. If you say it was Erev Tisha B'Av, then it means, like what we said before, it was the night, it was the, not Erev Tisha B'Av, what we think of it as the 8th of Av, but rather Erev, the evening of the day of Tisha B'Av, because as we said, it was set on fire in the evening. So it was the evening of the night. Tisha B'Av Erev, right. Umatzoi Shabbos Haya. It was on a Matzoi Shabbos. It was a Sunday. Umatzoi Shviyas Haya. So it was the first year after Shmita. Umashmarta Shal Yah Yarib Haya. And it was the turn of the Mishmar of Yah Yarib, which was the first of all the 24 Mishmaras. So it's like the beginning of a whole new cycle of everything. First day of the week, first year of the Shmita, first Mishmar. Yeah, and the Levim were saying Shira, standing on the Duchan. Now, even though we said that the Korban Tamid was stopped on Shiva Asar Tammuz, and we had opinions that took place in the first Beis HaMikdash, so what are they doing singing Shira 3 weeks later on Tisha B'Av? There's a number of possibilities. One of them being that the Resh Lakish holds in Erchin over there that you do the Shira even if you don't have a Korban. So therefore, yeah. Anyway. That he says that they're not interdependent. So what Shira were they saying? The end of the Shira of Wednesday, actually. Even though it was Sunday, they were saying the Shira of Wednesday, Kel Nekomas Hashem. Rashi and Tosfos both quote over here from the Gemara and Erchin over there that really, I mean, if it was Sunday, they should have been doing Hashem Aras Amloya. But the Eibishter arranged it, like, the Eibishter arranged it, Ilya Ba'alma Denafel B'Pumayu. Like, the Eibishter arranged, like, they're saying it as like a dirge, as like a kina. Ilya means like as an expression of mourning. So that they did that.
What was the goal of saying that?
The goal was, it was showing, well, one second, well, I'll tell you in a second. They were saying the last pasuk of the Shira, by Yoshev Aleyam Asoinam, the Eivishter turned against them their wickedness, over Rasam Yatmisim, and because of their wicked, because of their evil, he will cut them off. They did not even have a chance to finish the last words of the pasuk. Hashem Elokeinu will cut them off until the Goyim came and conquered them. What's the idea? So Mepharshim say, if they had said Yatzmisim Hashem Elokeinu, that would have been the part of the pasuk. The pasuk before that, that whole kapitel, Kein L'Chametz Hashem, is talking about how, you know, why do the Rishayim flourish? Eventually, the Eivishter is going to punish them, etc. It can be understood in one of two ways. It can be talking about the Goyim who harass the Jewish people, or it can be talking about the Jewish people themselves when they don't live up to what they're supposed to be doing. When they said this last pasuk, by Yoshev Aleihem Asoinam, the Eibishter turned their wickedness against them. Again, who are we talking about, the Jewish people or the Goyim? If they had been able to finish Yatzmisim Hashem Elokeinu, then it would mean that they're davening that Hashem should cut them, meaning the Goyim, off. The Eibishter didn't want that to happen. So therefore, he arranged that the Goyim conquered them and stopped the singing before they got to those words, so that the part of the pasuk that they said, by Yoshev Aleihem Asoinam of Rasam Atzmisim, can be understood to mean that as a punishment for what the Jewish people had been doing, the evil and the bad that the Jewish people had been doing, therefore Yatzmisim, therefore they were cut off. As opposed to Yatzmisim Hashem Elokeinu, which would refer to Hashem cutting off the Goyim. Yeah. V'chein b'shniyah. And then the Braisa says over there, in Erchin, the same thing happened by the second Beis HaMikdash. So therefore we see, if the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, then the same thing the second one. Except the Gemara actually points there in Erchin that actually not all the details that the Braisa is mentioning were the same the second time around. For example, it wasn't necessarily a Motzoi Shmita. We were here first. I'm not interrupting the shiur for 5 minutes. Okay. So the Gemara and Erechin points out over there, not necessarily were all the details the same. It wasn't necessarily Matzah Shviyas, for example. The Rambam actually understands that the second Korban was at the end of a Shemitah year, not the year after a Shemitah year, but rather at the end of the Shemitah year. But we call it Matzah Shviyas because the first year that we, when we count the years of the Korban, the first year is a Matzah Shviyas. The Gemara also points out over there, it can't have been the Mishmar of Yahyariv. We said the other day that only four Mishmaris came back, and Yahyariv wasn't one of them. But at least the detail that it was Tisha B'Av and that it was Sunday, that was the same. Nuka de Beta Gemara, how do we know that Beta was captured on Tisha B'Av, which was the fourth thing in the Mishnah? That we know from Gemara, that we know by Kabbalah. And Nechoshoir, that the city was plowed up. That also, it says on the side over here, the Girsa Gemara, Nami Gemara, we also know that by Kabbalah. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Ksha'chorav Turnus Rufus HaRosha as a Hechel, when Turnus Rufus the Rosha destroyed, or actually it says on the side of it here, it should be Ksha'chorash, when he plowed up the Hechel, which they were doing that to demonstrate that it's never going to be rebuilt, Chas V'Shalom. At that same time, Nigzir Gzera Ram Gamliel LaHariga. They made a Gzera against Ram Gamliel, who's the Nasi of the Jewish people, that he should be killed. But Odein Echad V'Amid Beis HaMedrash, a certain nobleman, a Roman nobleman, came and stood in the Beis HaMedrash. Omar, and he called out, Bala Choytim Misbakish, Bala Choytim Misbakish. The one with the nose is wanted, the one with the nose is wanted. Now why is he calling Ram Gamliel the one? Obviously he couldn't say outright Ram Gamliel because it would be dangerous, but why is he calling him the one with the nose? So Rashi says, because just like the nose is the most prominent thing in the face, so Ram Gamliel is the most prominent person among the Jewish people. Second explanation, Rashi says, is because he's the God of Adar. Which means, just like the nose, besides being the most prominent part of the face, it's also the most beautiful part of the face. When a person has a beautiful nose, their whole face looks beautiful. So therefore, the Ram Gamliel is the leader of the generation. He's the one who makes the generation be beautiful. So these are two explanations. There's a couple of other explanations why Afi compared him to the nose. Marsha says because all of the body depends on the nose breathing. If the nose stops breathing, then the whole body, the whole body can't last. So the same thing, the whole Jewish people depend on Ram Gamliel. There's another idea, I think, Ben Yehoyada says, that when you walk into a room, who told you people to come in here when we are learning over here? There's a whole shul out there to daven in. So he's a chiyuv, let him daven out there. He said Balachotim, but we're understanding a couple of possibilities. There's another one, I think Ben Yehoyada says, when you walk into a room, your nose goes in first. So we find in a few places the Gemara mentions the same thing. He's warning, like if Ram Gamliel is going to be killed, other Chachamim are going to be following as well. There's one more explanation, a very interesting one, that this Adon, actually, he was a Roman, he was a Roman, the Pashtus, he spoke Latin, and he was actually using a play on words. The word for nose in Roman is nasus. So therefore he's saying the man with the nasus, the man with the nasi, meaning the nasi. Yeah. Anyway. Shomer Ram Gamliel, so Ram Gamliel heard, Azal Toshim, and I only went and hid out. Azal Gabay Betzina, so this Roman went to see Ram Gamliel in secret. Amalei, he tells him, Imatzil Nalach, if I save you from this gzera, Maisus Lila Amadasi, will you bring me into Olam Haba? Will you arrange that I get a place in Olam Haba? Amalei Hain, Ram Gamliel says yes. Amalei Ishtabali, swear to me. Ishtabali, so Ram Gamliel swore to him. Solikli Igra, so now the Roman official went up to the roof, Nafal Amis, and he fell down and died. Ugmiri, and we know for a fact, the Chigbazri Gzeirato, Mis Chadminayu, that when the Romans make a Gzeira and then one of them dies, Mevatli L'Gzeira Sayu, then they will be Mevatol their Gzeira, because Rashi says they were very superstitious. When they see that one of the members of their council who agreed to this kind of thing dies, they figure, you know what, it's a sign, it's a sign that we messed up. Rosh Hashanah, what about it? We didn't learn about it. Yotza Basko v'Omra, so Basko came out and said, Odin Zemezumim l'chayu elam abba, this nobleman is ready for chayu elam abba. Turn it up on him.
What did he accomplish?
He accomplished that. He saved Ram Gamliel from being killed.
Was one of the
Ram Gamliel was not. Rav Shimon Gamliel was, but that's later. Or earlier, because it may have been Ram Gamliel's father. Whatever it is, Ram Gamliel himself lived out his life. Yeah. Tanan Rabbanan, Mishachorav Abayis Barashayna, when the first Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Niskabtu Kittis Kittis Shapirche Kavona, groups and groups of young Kayanim gathered together, Umatechas HaHechel B'Yadon, with the keys of the Hechel in their hands, Va'alu L'Gaga Hechel, they went up to the roof of the Hechel, Va'amr L'Fanav Rebbeinu Shalom, Hoyo B'Loi Zachinu Lias Gizborim Ne'amonim, since we were not Zoycha to be trustworthy custodians of the Beis Mikdash, you Matechas Mesuras Lach, then the keys should be handed over back to you.
All right.
They threw them up above to Shemayim. The Yotzaka in Pisasiyad, and something like the form of a hand came out in a Shemayim, the Kiblat in my hand, and took the keys. There's a verse that one of the Rishonim say that this is what we mean when we say in davening that we can't go up to the Beis Mikdash. This is that we don't mean the hand of the goyim. We mean the hand that came out in a Shemayim to take the keys. Of course not, but to show, to figure it out, yeah. The hem kof to v'nokul seichor, and they, the kohenim, jumped and fell into the fire. Marshal says because of the tsar over the korban. Ba'aleim kohenim Yishayo anovi, and on them Yishayo anovi mourned. He says the pasuk Masa Gechizoyin, the nevuah of Gechizoyin, of the valley of vision. Rashi says Yerushalayim is called that because everybody looks toward this. Malach Efer Kielis Kulach Lagaga. See, the Navi says, what is it to you, everybody, that you've all gone up to the roofs? Meaning, these Kayanim went up to the roof of the Beis Mikdash. Shuais Malaya, this was a city that was always full of cheering. Ir Haimia, a busy city. Kiryaliza, a happy city. Chalalayach, like Chalalecherev, the ones who were killed by you were not killed by the sword. Vele Mesim Ochama, and they did not die in battle.
Amen.
So this is referring to this incident over here that all these people were killed not by the sword or the goyim or whatever, not in the battle, but in the fire. Afba Kadosh Baruch Hu Nemar, and then also about the Eibishter himself, it says it's not just the people are mourning about it, they're not just the Navi, but the Eibishter himself. Makarka Kir, the Kir, Rashi explains that Kir is a word, is a Gemara word meaning a master. The Kir, the master, the Eibishter, the Makarka is crying out. Vishoya, and also is another word crying out, like Shava, El Hahar, about the mountain that how Tia and that how Maria is destroyed. Mishnah said, "Mishenichnas Av Matan b'Simcha Chola." That when Av comes in, we decrease in Simcha. Amar of Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bashilas Mishmeder Av. Kishem she Mishenichnas Av Matan b'Simcha. Just as when Av comes in, we decrease in Simcha. Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marvin b'Simcha. So also when Adar comes in, we increase in Simcha. And Rashi says Adar because Rashi says an interesting thing. Yemei Nissim Hoyu Yisrael. They were days of Nissim that happened to the Jewish people. Purim or Pesach. Now why does Rashi have to mention Pesach? So the number of different interesting answers that are given. One of them, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that one thing is because this goes to show which Adar are we talking about? Mishnichnas Adar Marv Mesimcha. Which one? The first Adar or the second Adar? Since he mentions Pesach, we mean the one closer to Pesach, Adar Sheni. That's one explanation. That's one explanation, right? There's a couple of other explanations, but then the Rebbe talked about it a couple of times. And explain that the idea is that what's the connection between Purim and Pesach? Why did the next Purim happen? We're going to learn Masechta Megillah in a few weeks. That Haman thought of all the months Adar was the most appropriate because Moshe passed away in it. He didn't realize Moshe was also born in it. And when did Moshe accomplish his biggest accomplishment? Is Pesach, taking the Jewish people to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, Adar, even from when Adar begins, is already the season that leading towards Pesach, because the whole Nes Purim, which is in Adar and which is connected with the whole month, Bachodesh Hashanah Bachlam, is all due to what was accomplished on Pesach. There's also, by the way, that I've quoted a couple of times from different places. One place where this appears is in the Sefer Mor Vashemesh from one of the early Poshut Rabbeim. That the vort is Mishenichnas Av Mematin. When Av comes in, we want to reduce the negativity. And how do we do that? Besimcha.
Didn't know it was
the Poshut Rebbe. The Mor Vashemesh says that. Amar Papa Hilchach. Therefore, since we're saying that since we're saying Megalim Schus L'Yem Zakev V'Chayv L'Yem Chayv, since we're saying that good things happen on days that are set aside for good and vice versa. Therefore, Bal Yisrael the Isla Dina B'Hadi Nachri, a Jew who has a court case with a guy, L'Shtamet Minei Ba'Av, he should try to get out of it in Av. Diriyam Mazle, because then his mazel is poorer. And he should make himself more available in Ador, the body mazel, because then his mazel is stronger. Now, what kind of mazel are we talking about anyway? Don't we say in mazel Yisrael? So the Ritzma, I think it is, talks about it and says, yes, but Ador and Av are the exceptions. He says, in Ador and Av, yes, the Jewish people do have a mazel. That's one explanation, and then I think as he says, or maybe somebody else says, a different explanation. The Gemara doesn't mean over here mazel as in the constellations and whatnot. It just means that since we're saying the schos happens on Yom Zakeh and Chayvul Yom Chayev, the chances of a favorable verdict are greater in Adar and vice versa.
So you could say that it goes on the going, because if the going don't have a schos in Adar and
Well, that's why we're saying you should in Adar, but who says why? You know, the goyim don't. For the goyim, Adar is no different than any other month. To us Jews, that our mazel is stronger in Adar.
Maybe it's different
from
that because it's favorable for us.
Maybe. What
about
the shtamet minei
on the
Tuba? So when we say the shtamet minei, right? Are we talking about the entire chodesh of, or are we talking about only some part of it? In principle, it's only until Tisha B'Av, but if possible, you know, if possible, you try to avoid it the whole month. Yeah. Speaking of, since we mentioned something that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shmuel bar Shila, said in the name of Rav, so the Gemara quotes two other things he said. The pasuk says this next pasuk that we're going to quote is part of a letter that the Navi Yirmiyah sent to the Jewish people who had been taken to Babel with the first galus of Yechoniah. He tells them, basically, settle in over there. You have a long time. You're going to be there 70 years until the Eibishter allows the next Beis Hamikdash to be built. And he describes over there that you're going to be living there. I'm going to make it good for you. Losses lachem achris v'tikva, that I'll give you a future and a hope. So what does this mean? This refers to the fact that Babel has a lot of palm trees, which we had earlier in the Masechta, that therefore it's cheap, nourishing food. Uklei pishtan, and that they have linen garments, which also it's cheap. They last. So therefore, they have, you know, they're able to live relatively comfortably, and they're able to live relatively cheaply, and then be able to manage. Marshall talks about the idea that specifically we call these things achris v'tikva because these things last a long time. Dates can be preserved to last for a while. Linen clothes last for a while. So therefore, you have, you know, these other things that wear out. These other things that wear out or get used up.
Positive.
In the positive sense. Yeah. One of the Mefarshim says an interesting idea that the word achris can refer to dates because out of the Shiva Saminim, they're the last one listed. They're the achris, they're the last one. And linen can be called tikva because the word tikva we find in Yeshua by the story of Rachel, where they're tikva chutashani, so tikva means a thread. So therefore, I don't remember the name of the Mefarsh, the Shmaya Kalimudim, I think, maybe. Yeah. Another one. The pasuk says when Yaakov came to get the brachas from Yitzchok, he smelled the smell of his clothing. The pasuk says, and by Yomer he says, re'e reach bni, see the fragrance of my son is kareach sada shabercha Hashem. It's like the fragrance of a field that Hashem benched. What kind of field are we talking about? Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, Mishmei Rav, kareach sada shel tapuchim. He meant that it's like the aroma of a field of apples. Tosfos brings over here that not necessarily doesn't mean apples like what we think of, rather it means Esrogim. Because Esrogim, so that's some of Farshim say, that's the whole idea. Gan Eden came in with him, and what fruit is specifically associated with Gan Eden? Well, we have several different opinions what the fruit from the Eitz Hadas is. One is that it was Esrogim. The Mishnah said Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av Liyistasecha, that during the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, Asurim L'Safra L'Chabbos, they're not allowed to take haircuts, they're not allowed to wash clothes. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Loishanu elo l'chabes v'lubash. This that we're saying, you're not allowed to wash your clothes, is only if you're going to wash them and wear them.
Aval l'chabes
elo niach mutter. But Rav Nachman says, if you are washing them in order to put them away in your drawer, then you're allowed to. Rav Sheshet says, "Afilu l'chabes elo niach mutter." Rav Sheshet says, "No. Even if you're going to wash them and then put them away, you're also awesome to do it till after the 9 day." Rashi says because washing clothes is a very labor intensive thing. You're being masiach das from the avelus, so that's supposed to be during that time. Another explanation that some before say because laundering is usually done in public. So yeah. Wait, Rav Sheshet says, Teda, I can prove it to you that you're not allowed to do laundry even if you're going to be putting it away. The Batli Ksiri, the Beirav, because we see that during that week, Tisha B'Av, the laundry man of Beirav, either that means the actual household of Rav, or it means the yeshiva, or the house of the Reish Galus, or whatever it is, are all Batli. They don't have any work during that time. Why not? Obviously, if it was a coincidence of Nachman, why not? People could still be doing laundry in order to put it away for after the 9 days. The fact that not shows that you can't even do laundry then. Now, Masiv Rav Hamnona. So Rav Hamnona asks, what do you mean? We learned the Mishnah, B'chamishi Mutarim of Nekved HaShabbos. We said that on Thursday of the 9 days, you would be allowed to wash clothes because of Kavod Shabbos, which we're talking about over there, actually. The case that the Mishnah is talking about is that Tisha B'Av comes out on Friday, which in those times it could. Nowadays it can't, but in those times it could. So then you're allowed to do it on Erev Tisha B'Av. Now, Lamai, now we have to consider, what do you mean, covered Shabbos? Ilem l'chabes l'lubush? You're saying that you'd be allowed to do the laundry on Thursday and then put it on right then on Thursday? My covered Shabbos, Ika. What kind of covered Shabbos? By the time Shabbos comes, it's going to be dirty again. Elohania. If the Mishnah is saying that if Thursday comes out Erev Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to do laundry, the covered Shabbos. Now, what would it mean? If it just meant that you're allowed to do laundry and then wear the clothes, how is that covered Shabbos?
Where are the clothes then?
You're going to wear them right then on Thursday. Because that's the point. Rav Nachman is saying that Bechlal, during the 9 days, you would be allowed to wash clothes in order to wear them after the 9 days. So Rav Sheshet is saying, consider, what is the Mishnah? If the Mishnah is saying that you can do laundry on Thursday for Shabbos, what does it mean? If it means that you're doing the laundry on Thursday, Erev Tisha B'Av, and you're going to wear them on Shabbos, the day after Tisha B'Av, what does the Mishnah need to say? Of course you could. According to Rav Nachman, you could do that any time during the 9 days.
I need a Mishnah.
No, not you don't need a Mishnah, but yeah, according to Rav Nachman, the whole case, when it's also, is if you're going to be wearing it right away. But if the Mishnah is saying that you're going to be doing it for covered Shabbos, presumably that means you're going to be leaving it for Shabbos. But if it is, then according to Rav Nachman, what's the problem? Elohaniach, so obviously it must be that you're washing them in order to put them away for Shabbos, and the implication of a Hamishuhu Deshari, it's only allowed on Thursday, which is Erev Tisha B'Av, Aval Shabbos Kula Aser, but the rest of the week before Tisha B'Av would in fact be Aser. So that proves Rav Sheshet's point. The answer is no. Lo'olam l'chabes v'lubush. No, the Mishnah could be talking about actually where you're wearing, you're washing it in order to wear it right away on Thursday. You're asking, well then by Shabbos it's going to be dirty. What kind of covered Shabbos is it? The case is you have a person who only has one undershirt. So the covered Shabbos, he has to have something to wear on Thursday and Friday. The covered Shabbos is, if he weren't to wash it would be really dirty come Shabbos, at least like this. He washes it on Thursday. He wears it the rest of Thursday and he wears it on Friday. Okay, it's a little bit dirty come Shabbos, but at least it's not as dirty as it would otherwise be. So that's a special case where he has one shirt. To Amar Abasi Amar Vichnan, Misha Ein Le'el HaKholok Echad, somebody who only has one undershirt, Mutal L'chabse B'chol HaShomayit, he's allowed to wash it on Cholomayit. So by the same token, then normally, as we're going to learn in Ma'ariv Katan, you're not allowed to do laundry during Chol HaMoed. But if you only have one shirt, you're allowed to, because otherwise it's going to get full of light. But that's a different thing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who only has one. So therefore, by the same token, then we see that the same thing. You'd be allowed to do it the same way you'd be allowed to do it Erev Tisha B'Av. Tosfos discusses, though, there is an issue. The Gemara discusses over there in Ma'ariv Katan that it's different. When a person only has one undershirt, a zoda mechiyachalov, his belt demonstrates that he only has one. When people see him washing the undershirt, they know it's his only one. What does it mean his belt shows? One explanation is that they always wore belt over their ksoinis. So therefore, usually if a person has more than one, he'll take out the belt and put it on the other one. If you see somebody washing a Ksonis with a belt on it, you know that it's his only one. Because he didn't have another one to put it on. Rashi in Moed Katan gives a different explanation that you have a person who only has the one undershirt takes it off. He's standing over there. He can't be standing completely undressed to wash his shirt. Necessarily, you have to wear an azer, kind of like a loincloth, like underwear or whatever. So when you see him standing there in his underwear, you know that he only has the one chaluk. So therefore, Tosfos says, well, nowadays we don't do that. We don't wear an azer like that. So therefore, we don't really have. Even if a person only has one chaluk, there's no way to demonstrate to people that it's his only one. Therefore, Tosfos says you're not allowed to wash things on Chol HaMoed even if you only have one of them. Tosfos does say you can wash babies' clothes though, because those always get dirty.
Right. Today, you couldn't make the inference that it's the only clothes.
No, that's essentially what it is. It's considered as if it's the only. Yeah. So the halacha is you are allowed to wash babies' clothes on Chol HaMoed, but you're not allowed to wash adult clothes on Chol HaMoed even if it's the only one.
Are you allowed to iron them?
We'll talk about ironing soon, actually, in connection with the 9 days, and as far as Chol HaMoed, we'll get there in Moed Katan. Itma Nami, they said also, Amar Binyamin Amar Abelazar, Lo Yishanu Ela L'chabit L'lilbosh, that the Mishnah, when it says you're not allowed to do laundry during the week of Tisha B'Av, is talking about to wash them and wear them right away, Abelah Niyachmuta, but you're allowed to wash them in order to put them away in the drawer, like Rav Nachman had said. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, also l'chabes l'fnei Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to do laundry before Tisha B'Av, afilu l'aniach l'acha Tisha B'Av, even if you're going to put it away till after Tisha B'Av. And the Braisa continues, v'gihut shalom v'kibbutz shalahen. All gihut is like their kibbutz. Now, what is gihut? The Rashi says over here that gihut means ironing. You were just asking about ironing. So Rashi says over here that that's what gihut means. There's several other different explanations that Mefarshim say what gihut is, but it kind of all amounts to the same thing. It amounts to like pressing it or making it appear like new. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, they were able to do laundry very, very well. They were able to get the clothes really, really clean with just washing, with just kvisa. In Babel, they weren't. Some Mefarshim say either because they weren't as expert in it, or some Mefarshim say because the water quality in Babel was worse, it was more polluted, whatever it was anyway. So therefore, in Babel, they needed gihut, ironing or whitening or whatever it is. There's another explanation that gihut means using laundry detergent as opposed to kibbutz, just means washing it in water, in order to get them as clean as they would in Eretz Yisrael with just kibbutz.
They have linen in Babel, right?
Yeah, that's what we said, they have linen.
It's very, very hard to...
Well, linen we're going to get to in a minute, actually, but we're talking about any kind of clothes. Any kind of clothes, in order to get them as clean in Babel as they did in Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't just do kibbutz, they couldn't just do plain old washing, they had to do gihut, whatever gihut is. So the Brahis is saying that what we do in Babel for gihut is like what they do in Eretz Yisrael for kibbutz. So if you're saying you're not allowed to wash your clothes before Tisha B'Av, then in Babel that would mean you're allowed to wash them, but you're not allowed to do gihut. Now in Shulchan Aruch it says that since we're not really clear what's kibbutz and what's gihut, and second of all, since as the Gemara is going to mention in a minute that there's certain kinds of clothes that gihut doesn't really apply to, then in general we say you don't wash clothes at all during the week before Tisha B'Av, and Ashkenazim are noyag not from the beginning of the 9 days, not from Rosh Chodesh. Continues the Braisa, Uklai Pishton Ein Behem Mishum Gihut, that linen clothes, the concept of gihut does not apply in them. Why? Again, there's several different explanations in Mefarshim. One of them is because linen clothes, you never really get them completely clean anyway. You wear them as undershirts. You don't really bother ironing them or whatever. You don't really bother pressing them because you're wearing them right on your skin. So therefore, there's no issue of gihuts with clay pishtun because you don't. You know, people just normally wash them anyway.
It's very hard to see.
That's another explanation, right? Is it's very hard to get them looking new again.
Hard.
Yeah. Anyway, so therefore, so the point is the first part of the Braita had said clearly, also l'chabes l'fnei Tisha B'Av, after l'aniach l'acha Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to wash clothes before Tisha B'Av, even if you're putting it away to wear after Tisha B'Av. So Tshuvta, that contradicts what Rabbi Yamin said in the name of Rabbi Lazar, and also what Rabbi Nachman says. So that's it. That contradicts him. So that's the answer, is you're not allowed to do laundry during the 9 days, even if you're putting it away for afterwards. Shalach Rav Yitzchok Bar Gyuri Mishmeid Rav Yechanan, Af Pisha Amru Klei Pishton En Behem Nishum Gihut, even though we just said in the Braisa that linen clothes, the concept of Gihut doesn't apply to, according to the various explanations that we said, Aval also Lolov Shem Rishabas Shechal Tisha Bal Vias Pesecha, but you're not allowed to wear these laundered clothes during the week in which Tisha B'Av comes in it. And Omer Rav, Lo Yishanu Ela L'fanav Aval Achrav Mutar. So Rav says this is only referring to the part of the week up till Tisha B'Av. So like this year, for example, Tisha B'Av is Tuesday. So it means Sunday and Monday and Tisha B'Av itself. From Wednesday and on, you'd be allowed to. Or Shmuel Amar Fil Achrav Ami. Also Shmuel says no, it means the entire week, whenever Tisha B'Av comes out in it. Maisvi. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Shabbos, Shechal, Tisha B'Av, Lias B'Secha, the week during which Tisha B'Av comes in it, also L'Saper L'Chabbos, you're not allowed to take haircuts, you're not allowed to do laundry, or B'Chamishim will turn with Nekvei to Shabbos, but on Thursday, you're allowed to do it because of Kavod Shabbos. Case that, and the Braisa continues, what does that mean? Chal Lias B'Echa B'Shabbos, Mutl L'Chabbos, Kol Shabbos Kola. If Tisha B'Av comes out on Sunday, you're allowed to do laundry the whole rest of the week, from Monday onward. If it comes out on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, you're not allowed to do it before Tisha B'Av, but you're allowed to do it the days after it. If Tisha B'Av comes out on Friday, you're allowed to do laundry on Thursday because of Kavod Shabbos, like we said before. The imlek kibbutz b'chamishi b'shabbos, if you did not do laundry on Thursday, mutl b'chabbos b'erev Shabbos, min amin chol ha'mayla, then you're allowed to do laundry even on Tisha B'Av itself, even though that's because it's erev Shabbos, from mincha time onward. On Tisha B'Av. However, the Gemara points out, Laius Allah Abaya, Abaya cursed against, put a curse against Vitim Rabbi Abba Yaakov, or some say it was Rabbi Abba Yaakov, aha, on this din. Or not on this din, but if somebody does that, if somebody takes it, even though the din is technically you're allowed to, but if somebody is so careless that they didn't bother doing their laundry on Thursday or any time earlier in the week, and now all of a sudden they wake up Tisha B'Av afternoon and realize they have to do it, and therefore they're going to do it on Tisha B'Av itself, yes, technically they're allowed to, but Abaya or Rabbi Abba Yaakov cursed somebody who does, who uses that loophole. No, on Tisha B'Av itself, you're saying. On Tisha B'Av itself, Erev Shabbos. I mean, nowadays, Tisha B'Av doesn't come out on Erev Shabbos, so it's a moot point, but yeah. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Chalias B'Sheni U'Vachamishi, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Monday or Thursday, when it's a day when you're reading from the Torah anyway, Kodin Shlosho Maftir Echad, you call up three people to the Torah, and one of those people says the Haftorah. But if Tisha B'Av comes out on Tuesday or on Wednesday, or the Shagas Avi adds the same thing if it comes out on Sunday or on Friday, only one person reads, and that one person says the Haftarah. Why? Because those other days of the week are not regular days of Kriya anyway. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make the regular Takana that you need three people to lane. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the Olam, Kodin Shlosho, Maftir Echad. You always have three Olam, and one of them is the Maftir, which is what we do.
That's the halacha.
That on Tisha B'Av, you always have three. You call up three people. They read from Kisoy Lidbonim in Parashas Vayeshanan, and the third one is the master.
But do one.
No. The Tanakhama says we do one, but Rabbi Yossi says three, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, it's true of the Shmuel. So this Braisa contradicts Shmuel. The Braisa clearly said that after Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to wash clothes, etc. And Shmuel had said not. Shmuel had said the whole week you're not allowed to. The answer is Amach Shmuel Tanoyi. Shmuel can answer you that it's actually a machlokas Tanoyim. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Tisha B'Av Shechal Dias B'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shechal Dias B'Shabbos, or Erev Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, Olcho B'Shoitza Kol Tzoka, you can eat and drink as much as you want. Unlike, we're going to talk about tomorrow, the Dinim of Suda Mafsekas. The Dinim of Suda Mafsekas do not apply when Tisha B'Av or Erev Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos. You can eat and drink Erev Tisha B'Av or Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av itself is on Shabbos, it's Nidcha. If Erev Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, either way, the fast is on Sunday. So you don't have to have a Sudam of Sekhs on Shabbos. You can eat and drink as much as you want. Or Malal Shokhane Afila Kesudas Shloime B'Shaita. You can put up on your table even as much as like Shloime's Sudah in his good times, meaning like a huge feast, as much as you want. However, the Braisa continues, but also the Saper L'Chabbos Min HaShchodesh V'Ad HaTainis. You're not allowed to cut your hair or to do laundry from HaShchodesh until the fast, Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to call a Chodesh Kulay Aser. Rabbi Yehuda says the entire month of is Aser. Wait, we're not saying that halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I'm an Aser, Allah Oitzah Shabbos Bobad. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says only that week is Aser. So fine, what do you have so far? The mayor says the deadline is a fast, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the whole rest of the week. So Shmuel can say, when I say the whole rest of the week, I'm going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Vitanya idach, and then we learn in another braisa. V'noyeg evil mirash chodesh v'adatainis. Divrei Meir. Meir says that you keep the minhagim of avelus from rish chodesh until the fast. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda I'm a kol chodesh kulay aser. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says the whole month is aser. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel I'm ainah aser alayit of Shabbos v'vad. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says only the week in which Tisha B'Av comes out. Amar Rabbi Yochanan u'shlosh in mikra echad darshu. They're actually all three darshening the same pasuk to get their different opinions. The pasuk says, "Dichtiv v'hishbati kol masoid." So the Ebrister says, "I will stop. I will make cease all of the Jewish people's joy. Chaga, their chagim, their yom tovim. Chodesha, their shchodesh. V'shabata, and their Shabbos." So, Manda Omer Meshchodesh V'adatayinis, the mayor who says that you have the whole 9 days from Meshchodesh until Tisha B'Av, mechaga. He learns it from the word chag because Meshchodesh is called a moyed, which moyed, another word for moyed is chag. So therefore, so from the chag until Tisha B'Av. Well, man, don't call a chodesh kulei asr. Rabbi Yehuda says the whole month is asr. He says mechodesha. He says the chodesh doesn't just mean Rosh Chodesh; it means the entire month above. Well, man, don't call a Shabbos kulei. Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says the whole week is asr. He says mishabata. He learns it from the word mishabata, which means from the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av until the following Shabbos. So Rava says the halacha is like Shimon Gamliel. So you actually only offer in these things the week of Tisha B'Av, which means if Tisha B'Av comes out on Sunday, or actually the Rishami has if it comes out on Shabbos, then you don't b'chol have these restrictions at all. Or if it comes out on Tuesday, you have Sunday and Monday. If it comes out Thursday, you have Sunday through Wednesday, etc. We Ashkenaz, that's how Sadim do. Our minhag Ashkenaz is that we do the whole 9 days regardless. In effect, it means that we're doing like Rameir, not like Shimon Gamliel. And Rava also says the halacha is like a mayor. And Gemara points out, Tavayu Lakula, that both of them are Lakula. Meaning, what he's saying is, it's only the week of Tisha B'Av, and only the part of the week up till Tisha B'Av, unlike Rav Shimon Gamliel would say it's the full week. So with Sricha, therefore, Rav had to tell us both things. If he only said the halacha is like a mayor, have amin after the Mirash Chodesh, you would think it begins from Mirash Chodesh. That's why he mentions Rav Shimon Gamliel, to say the halacha is like him, that it's only that week in which Tisha B'Av comes out. If he said like Rav Shimon Gamliel, you would think it includes the power of the week after Tisha B'Av, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, etc. Therefore, he tells us halacha is like a mayor, so it's the smallest possible time, only from Motzei Shabbos until Tisha B'Av. And again, that is technically the halacha, and that's how Sfaradim are noyig, but we Ashkenazim are noyig fully like a mayor, that it's from Rosh Chodesh until the Tainis.